So today we won't be reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Thank you for your help in bringing that. But today we won't be reading because today is Vishwarup Mahotsav and today is the day Srila Prabhupada accepted sannyas. So I thought today we'll have a little different program and speak about Prabhupada's acceptance of sannyas and about Lord Vishwarup. So Vishwarup, Sri Vishwarup, is the elder brother of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we'll have a little bit of discussion and then speak about Prabhupada. So these days are very auspicious because this is a very auspicious period. It began with Lord Vamanadev's appearance and then what was next? Jiva Goswami's appearance, then Bhaktivinoda Thakur's appearance, and Haridas Thakur's appearance. Was it appearance? Disappearance yesterday, I'm sorry. Haridas Thakur's disappearance, and today is Prabhupada accepting sannyas, you know, on this day. So these days are very auspicious because they increase our remembrance of the Supreme Lord. So they're very auspicious days. And sometimes the Lord, He instructs us through His devotees. You know, there's a saying in Bengali, like the mother will instruct the daughter-in-law through the daughter. You heard of this proverb in Bengali? That the mother will instruct the daughter-in-law through her own daughter. Because she cannot directly tell her what to do. When the daughter-in-law comes at home, she doesn't know what to do. So she doesn't want to offend her by telling her straight. Then she tells her own daughter how to act in a certain way, though she's acting perfectly. So in the same way, the Supreme Lord, He instructs us through His pure devotees, like Arjuna. Like Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. Arjuna is a liberated soul. But by the arrangement of the Lord, Arjuna got bewildered and then Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to us through him, you know, for our benefit. So in the same way, through the lives of the great acharyas and other devotees, the Lord instructs us. Prabhuji, today I thought I'll speak about Sri Vishwarup and Srila Prabhupada's acceptance of sannyas, if that's okay with you.
What, have we got a choice?
Yeah, whatever you say.
Today is today.
So with the blessings of the Vaishnavas, we will proceed. So on this, it is said that on this day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he found out about Sri Vishwarup. So Sri Vishwarup is Lord Chaitanya's elder brother. So he was the ninth child of Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Mata. And Lord Chaitanya was the 10th. So before that they had 8 daughters who had left the world. Very similar to Krishna Leela when Devaki, she gave, it was said the eighth son of Devaki would be the cause of Kamsa's death. So the 6 children of Devaki, they were killed by Kamsa. So this is a little similar. And then the 7th was Lord Balram appeared in the womb, but then he was transferred in the womb of Rohini. So Lord Balaram, he appeared in order to arrange things, to arrange for the Lord's appearance. So Lord Balaram is the servitor Godhead. So Sri Vishwarup is actually an incarnation of, it is said, of Sankarshan. So because Lord Sankarshan, Lord Sankarshan is an expansion of Lord Balaram, and Lord Balaram is the servitor godhead. So he serves the Supreme Lord in various capacities. So just like all the paraphernalia is the expansion of Lord Balaram, is Lord Balaram. So that's how he's serving the Supreme Lord in various ways. So the umbrella of the Lord, his shoes, the altar, even the floor. And in this temple, everything is the paraphernalia of Krishna. And that paraphernalia is Lord Balaram. So the paraphernalia of the Lord has to be treated with great respect because it is non-different from the Lord. So Sri Vishwarup, he appeared in the womb prior to the appearance of Lord Chaitanya in order to make things auspicious for the appearance of the Supreme Lord. So he was the ninth son of Sachi Mata, and she had eight daughters who died, and he prepared the scene. So Sri Vishwarup was extremely detached by nature. And he used to spend a lot of time with Advaita Acharya. Sri Vishwarup, he used to hang out a lot with Sri Advaita Acharya. So much so that even when Sachi Mata would call him for meals, he would come. But then after having his meal, he would again go back to Advaita Acharya and spend time with him. And he was very renounced by nature. He was extremely detached. And then eventually he took sannyas. And the reason he took sannyas was one day he heard his parents talking about arranging his marriage. So they were having a discussion to arrange his marriage. They were thinking of getting a match fixer, not like a cricket match fixer, but I mean, this is very inconceivable in the West that marriages are arranged. But in India, we see that marriages are arranged by the parents. So they were thinking of getting a match fixer to arrange, to find a suitable match for Sri Vishwarup. So when he heard that, he left home and he took sannyas. And his sannyas name was Shankaranya. So that's the name he was given. And so Sachi Mata, she was very disturbed when he took sannyas. And she was not happy with Advaita Acharya. And in fact, she committed an offense against Advaita Acharya. So that was later. So Nimai Pandit, so she was very worried that Lord Chaitanya, who was Nimai Pandit at that time, he would also take sannyas. And the Lord Chaitanya, Nimai Pandit, told Sachi Mata that he will not take sannyas. But they were still very worried that he will take sannyas. So one time, little Nimai, he had a dream in which Vishwarup appeared. And Vishwarup appeared, and Sri Vishwarup appeared and said, you know, come with me. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I can't come because I've told my mother I won't take sannyas. And then the next day, Nimai, he told that he had a dream of Vishwarup, and he asked him to come, but he said no. But still they were very concerned that he will take sannyas, so much so that they took him out of school. They took Nimai out of school because they thought if he goes to school, he'll hear about renunciation. And then he might take sannyas, because one son had become a sannyasi. And in fact, he disappeared also. So Sri Vishwarup, he disappeared in 1431, which is in AD, it's 1510, at Sholapur, which is in Pandharpur. It's a place of pilgrimage. That's where he disappeared. It is said in the commentary by Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj that he entered the deity of Sri Vithalanath. He entered the deity, and that's how he disappeared. And this place is Vithalanath.
At Pandharpur.
At Pandharpur, yeah. like near the river Bhima. So Sachi Mata and Jagannath Mishra, they were very worried that Nimai Pandit would, little Nimai would take sannyas, so they took him out of school. And then, but then because he was so eager to go to school, and others also were saying, you know, your child is so eager to go to school, our children are not eager to go, so you should send him. So then, and one time at the house of, whose place was it? Srivas? Yes, at Srivas Thakur's house, when Lord Chaitanya was giving love of Godhead to everyone, he did not give love of Godhead to Sachi Mata. And the reason for this was because she had committed an offense against Advaita Acharya. So she had, because she was very fearful that Nimai will also take sannyas, and because Nimai Pandit, he used to spend a lot of time with Advaita Acharya. So she called Advaita Acharya a cheat. So Advaita means non-dual. So when the prefix a is added against a word, it negates that. Just like we say a karma. So, you know, no reaction to those activities. So then karma means reaction to whatever activity we perform, it will have some reaction, whether good or bad. So akarma means activities which do not have any reaction. So in the same way, advaita, dvaita means dual, and when add the prefix a, it means non-dual, or one. So she called, and dvaita also can also mean a cheat in a different context. So she called Advaita Acharya a cheat because she said that, you know, you have made one of my sons a sannyasi, now the other will also become. So because of this offense, Lord Chaitanya, he did not award love of Godhead to Sachi Mata at that time. And then she had to beg forgiveness from Advaita Acharya. She had to fall at the feet of Advaita Acharya and take his dust. And then, and when she did that, Lord Chaitanya bestowed love of Godhead upon her. So the devotees were very surprised that how come the mother of Lord Chaitanya is not getting love of Godhead, but everyone else is getting. Then Lord Chaitanya, he explained the reason. So the moral of this pastime is that if we commit offenses against devotees, our spiritual progress is hindered severely. So that even if it's the mother of God, doesn't matter who we are, whether it's the mother of God or it's you know, Prabhupada disciple or whoever. So if an offense is committed against a Vaishnava, then we will not get love of God in. So that's what the Lord is trying to instruct us through his devotees. So Sri Vishwaroop, it is said that after his demise, he mixed with Lord Nityananda. So, and he belongs to the quadruple manifestation of the Chaturvyuha. As Prabhupada, he writes that in his commentary in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Vishwaroop Mahotsav is the day when Lord Chaitanya found out that Vishwaroop was in Pandapur, and that's where he left his body. So this is the day when Lord Chaitanya found out in his tours of South India. So Lord Chaitanya was touring South India. He left from Jagannath Puri. So when Lord Chaitanya found out, he shaved his hair. Though he was observing the what do you call it? Chaturmasya. So the Chaturmasya is last for 4 months, and traditionally one will not shave one's hair, and one will not cut one's nails. So Lord Chaitanya was following the Chaturmasya, but when he heard about Vishwaroop at Pandapur, then he shaved his hair. So today is also the day when today Srila Prabhupada accepted sannyas. So as we know, there are four ashramas. There's the brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, and sannyas ashramas. So Srila, and these ashramas are actually meant for a conditioned living entity. But Srila Prabhupada, he's a nitya siddha. He's beyond the ashramas. Because a pure Vaishnava, they are beyond varnashram. Just like we saw, even Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But he accepted sannyas. It's not that he's, you know, under the modes of nature. And Krishna says, Chatur Varnaya Maya Shishtam Guna Karma Vibhagasha, that these four social orders and ashramas are created by me. And I'm not affected by them, though they come from me. But they are meant to elevate conditioned living entities gradually. And Lord Chaitanya, he accepted sannyas to facilitate his preaching. Because he realized that a lot of people were not being respectful to him. And they were not taking him seriously. And even some of the students, they criticized Lord Chaitanya. When Lord Chaitanya was chanting Gopi, 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 they told him, you should be chanting Hare Krishna. And then Lord Chaitanya, he got very upset and he was, you know, chasing them with a stick. And they wanted to fight with him. So we see that Lord Chaitanya saw that the people were not taking him very seriously, and so he took sannyas so he could facilitate his preaching. So in the same way, Srila Prabhupada, he accepted sannyas, though he's, you know, beyond all these, beyond the modes of nature, he's a nitya siddha, he accepted sannyas so he can preach. And in fact, he was instructed by his spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in his dreams. Srila Prabhupada was instructed in his dreams. And he saw that his family situation was not very favorable to preaching Krishna consciousness. His wife was not very favorable. And one time Srila Prabhupada even asked his father that, at that time polygamy was allowed in India. So he asked his father, do you think I should marry another woman? Because, you know, this one is not very favorable towards preaching. And his father said that, you know, no, don't do that. This is a blessing for you because your wife will help you get renounced because she's giving you a hard time. Like she would sweep dust on the guests and she traded Prabhupada's books for tea biscuits. So she wasn't very favorable in that, like that. So though in Kali Yuga, sannyas ashram is forbidden, there's an injunction in the Shastra, in the Brahma Vaivarta Purana, it is said that Ashwamedam Gavalambham Sanyasam Pala Paitrakam Devarena Sutotpattim Kalau Pancha Vivarjayat. So it said, in this Kali Yuga, the performance of the Ashwamedha Yajna or Gomedha Yajna, sacrifices in which a horse or cow is offered, should be avoided, as should the acceptance of sannyas, the renounced order of life. So generally in Kali Yuga, the acceptance of sannyas is forbidden because people are unable to uphold the vows of a sannyasi. So it's not easy to uphold the vows of a sannyasi, being completely detached and fearless. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Abhayam Sattva Samshuddhi Jnana Yoga Vivastita. He says that the quality of a sannyasi is that a sannyasi is fearless. And they depend on the Supreme Lord. They're conscious of the Supreme Lord. He's sitting, residing within the heart of every living entity as a super soul. So they're very much dependent on the Lord. And they're fearless and they travel. And traditionally they would travel through the forests. And a sannyasi is socially dead. So taking sannyas means one is socially dead. One cuts off one's ties with one's family and friends. So love, society and friendship. One cuts off all ties and lives alone and travels and preaches for the benefit of mankind. So in Kali Yuga, it's not easy to follow the vows of a sannyasi. And we have seen that history has shown that. There are so many, this world is full of fake sannyasis. And even in ISKCON, we have seen, it hasn't been easy. But still, but for preaching Krishna consciousness, sannyas is allowed. If someone can follow the vows and they are very eager to preach Krishna consciousness, then sannyas, it is favorable to take sannyas because it really helps in spreading Krishna consciousness. One can spread Krishna consciousness. So in that mood, Srila Prabhupada, he accepted sannyas. So, I'll read from the Lilamrita, in which there's a description about Prabhupada's acceptance of sannyas and the events leading to Prabhupada's acceptance of sannyas. So, this can be the meditation for today. One night, Abhe had an unusual dream. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta appeared before him, beckoning. He was asking Abhay to leave home and take sannyas. Abhay awoke in an intensely emotional state. How horrible, he thought. He knew it was not an ordinary dream, yet the request seemed so difficult and unlikely. Take sannyas? At least it was not something he could do immediately. Now he had to improve the business, and with the profits he would print books. He went on with his duties, but remained shaken by the dream. So then in 1948, Srila Prabhupada, who was Abhay at that time, Abhay closed his Lucknow factory because he had fallen behind in paying the employees their salaries because his business was suffering. And even the rent he was paying in installments. Since 1946, he was paying the rent in installments. So the sales dropped, and then his business was struggling, and he was even struggling to pay the salaries. So Prabhupada said that when he started the factory in Lucknow, they were the golden days. His business flourished like anything. And everyone in the chemical business, they knew about him. He was a very prominent person. But then gradually, everything dwindled away. So then with the help of some acquaintances in Allahabad, Srila Prabhupada, he opened a small factory there. The same city where he opened the Prayag pharmacy, which failed 15 years before that. So his family was in Calcutta, but his son Brindavan, whose name was Brindavan, he was with him in Allahabad. He was helping him. So then after this, he had a dream for the second time. In which Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he again appeared to him and he again beckoned to him to take sannyas. But Prabhupada, he had to put aside that dream because he thought that he is the householder, he has so many responsibilities, he has 5 children, he has to look after them, and why is Guru Maharaj asking me to take sannyas now? So that's what Prabhupada thought. He thought it's not possible right now. So then it says in the Lilamrita, the Allahabad business was unsuccessful. At present, the condition of a business is not good. He wrote to his servant Gauranga, Srila Prabhupada, who had asked to rejoin him. Quote, when the condition gets better, and if you are free at that time, I will call you. End of quote. So Srila Prabhupada worked very hard, but the results were very meager. And so Prabhupada, he saw this as the arrangement of the Supreme Lord. And in fact, one verse would come to his mind from the Srimad Bhagavatam, from the 10th canto, was Yasya ham anu grinami harishye tad dhanam shanai tato dhanam tejati asya Svajana dukha dukhitam. So this verse would come in Srila Prabhupada's mind all the time. So the translation is where the Supreme Lord says, when I feel especially merciful towards someone, I gradually take away all his material possessions. His friends and relatives then reject this poverty-stricken and most wretched fellow. Don't worry, it won't happen to us. Unless you're very eager to take sannyas. Or it could happen. If you're very sincere. So, this verse would come in Prabhupada's mind all the time. And Srila Prabhupada even heard Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj quote this verse many times. And Prabhupada used to think of this verse very often. So Srila Prabhupada, he saw all this as the arrangement of the Lord, trying to extricate him from household affairs and, you know, put him on the path of preaching and freeing him for preaching Krishna consciousness. Although Srila Prabhupada was doing quite a lot. Srila Prabhupada was more or less a sannyasi because he had dedicated his body, mind and words in the service of the Lord. But he saw this as the arrangement of the Lord to free him from all these entanglements and focus on the preaching mission. So here Srila Prabhupada says, somehow or other my intention for preaching the message of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu increased and the other side decreased. I was not disinclined, but Krishna forced me. You must give it up. The history is known, how it decreased. So Srila Prabhupada, he says, so in 1950 I retired practically. Not retired, but a little in touch with business, whatever is going on. Then almost it became nil. Whatever was there, all right. You do whatever you like. So this is from the Prabhupada Leelamrita. Prabhupada having a conversation. So then Prabhupada had another dream. So one night Abhay had a striking dream, the same dream he had several times before, during his days as a householder. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati appeared, just as Abhay had known him, the tall, scholarly sannyasi, coming directly from the spiritual world, from Krishna's personal entourage. He called to Abhay and indicated that he should follow. Repeatedly he called and motioned. He was asking Abhay to take sannyas. Come, he urged, become a sannyasi. Abhay awoke in a state of wonder. He thought of this instruction as another feature of the original instruction Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati had given him at their first meeting in Calcutta. The same instruction that his spiritual master had later solidified in a letter, become an English preacher and spread Krishna consciousness throughout the Western world. Sannyas was for that end. Why would his spiritual master have asked him to accept it? Abhay reasoned that his spiritual master was saying, quote, now take sannyas and you will actually be able to accomplish this mission. Formerly, the time was not right. End of quote. Abhay deliberated cautiously. By accepting sannyas, a Vaishnava dedicates his body, mind and words totally to the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, renouncing all other engagements. He was doing that already. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati had offered sannyas to his leading disciples so that they could continue his mission. They hadn't done it. Preaching in the West had proved perilous even for the Gaudiya Mutt's most recognized sannyasis. How could he, a mere householder, presume he could succeed where the others had failed? He was hesitant, the helpless, incapable feeling he had expressed in his Viraha Ashtaka was there, but now his spiritual master was beckoning him over all other considerations, even over natural humility. Now, although he was elderly and alone, the desire to preach just as his spiritual master had preached remained with him, a fierce, though sometimes quietly expressed determination. So now I'll read to you how Srila Prabhupada went about taking sannyas. So first Prabhupada, he approached one of his godbrothers for permission to take sannyas. So he approached Bhakti Vilas Tirtha Maharaj. So it is said, he decided to turn to Bhakti Vilas Tirtha Maharaj, formerly Kunja Vihari, the leader of the Chaitanya Math in Calcutta. Abhay still thought of the Chaitanya Math as the headquarters of his spiritual master's mission. During the heated legal disputes, the Chaitanya Math had been the most prized acquisition. And since 1948, it had been under legal ownership of Bhakti Vilas Tirtha Maharaj. Now, although each sannyasi had his own place or places, the Chaitanya Math and Bhakti Vilas Tirtha Maharaj legally represented the Gaudiya Math entity. Abhay felt that if he were to take sannyas and go preach in America, he should give the Chaitanya Math the first opportunity to support the work. Oh, a fly fell on the screen. Okay, where are we going? In April 1959, Abhay wrote to Tirtha Maharaj, inquiring about sannyas as well as about the Chaitanya Math's printing some of his manuscripts. And since no one was going abroad, he volunteered to do so on behalf of the Chaitanya Math. So here Srila Prabhupada wants to volunteer on behalf of the Chaitanya Math, and he wants to give them all the credit. Bhakti Vilas Tirtha Maharaj replied that Abhay should first join the Chaitanya Math. He mentioned the strife that still lingered. Quote, "Those who are against Chaitanya Math, they are motivated by their individual ambitions." End of quote. Anyone who was against the Chaitanya Math, he said, was acting illogically and against the instructions of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. So according to Tirtha Maharaj, the thing for Abhay to do, the thing he had neglected to do for so many years, was to join the Chaitanya Math and act under his direction. Tirtha Maharaj mentioned several members of the Chaitanya Math who had recently accepted the sannyas order, and he said that Abhay could become one in time. So not straight away, in time he could become a sannyasi. And Prabhupada wanted to become straight away. He invited Abhay to come reside at the Chaitanya Math. Quote, "The house that we have, there are rooms that are airy and well lit. We will treat you exclusively. There won't be any difficulty. We will take care that no inconveniences are caused." End of quote. "But as for printing books, we are eagerly awaiting to print the books like Sat Sandarbha, Vedanta, based on devotional service, and many other rare books by the Goswamis. First we will print them. Books written by you will be checked by the editorial staff, and if the funds can be raised, they can be printed according to priority." Excuse me. "The books will be printed only if they are favorable for the service of the Chaitanya Math. Therefore, if the fund is raised, then there is a plan to go abroad as well." So there were so many conditions to Prabhupada's, you know, taking sannyas. So first he had to join, and in due course he will get sannyas. And he had to help in the translation of all these books. And if the funds permitted, certain books will get permitted. And if some funds permitted, then Prabhupada could go abroad. So here, Abhay was not encouraged. The main difficulty he felt was the Chaitanya Math's shortage of funds. "Srila Prabhupada, I was working with my broken typewriter. I went to Tirtha Maharaj. Quote, 'You give me a room and print my books. Give me some money, I will join you.' End of quote. I had thought, quote, 'This is Guru Maharaj's institution.' End of quote. He did not say no, but the printing of books was a difficult task for him. He had no money. He was hardly collecting for maintaining. Printing of books is a big job, and there is no guarantee of sale." At least at that time. "Without printing books and going to the West, sannyas did not have any meaning for Abhay. And who knew when Tirtha Maharaj would sanction his taking sannyas? There was no point in going to Calcutta just to reside in an airy, well-lit room that he had already in Vrindavan." Abhay wrote back to Tirtha Maharaj, mentioning his direct order from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta to preach to the English-speaking people. He wanted to go to the West right away, and he had thought that Chaitanya Math would welcome his offer. Both Abbey and Tirtha Maharaj had their responsibilities, but perhaps they could work together to carry out the desire of the spiritual master. Abbey asked Tirtha Maharaj to reconsider. On the 7th May 1959, Bhaktivilas Tirtha Maharaj wrote back, "My suggestion is don't make any hasty decisions. For the time being, you stay with us and engage yourself in the service of the society, and then accept three dandi," meaning sannyas. "The purpose of accepting three dandi is to serve the society. If that is your desire, then Sri Chaitanya Math will decide about your going to America to preach and make all the arrangements. It can never be the principle of the society to let one act according to his individual attempt or desire. The society will decide after consulting with the heads what is to be done by whom. That is what I want to say. First of all, it is necessary to identify oneself with the society." So there was strong emphasis by Tirtha Maharaj for Prabhupada to join, and then they'll decide what he does. Not recognizing the instruction he received from his spiritual master, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj. In order to preach in America and other foreign countries, it is important to have a dignified organization in the background. And secondly, it is necessary to establish oneself in India before going to preach in the foreign countries. Now, it is that there are no conferences or meetings in the West as before. Communication is done through the media of television. Abbe could understand the needs and priorities of the Chaitanya Math, but he could not allow them to overrule what he considered the highest mandate, preaching as Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati had ordered. Abbe had offered his services to the leaders of the Chaitanya Math, thinking they might also see things his way. He thought that with the world's crying need for Krishna consciousness staring them in the face, they might see that this Abbe Babu was convinced and enthusiastic, so he should be sent right away with whatever he required. But they had other priorities. Abbe next turned to Keshava Maharaj in Mathura, and Keshava Maharaj told Abbe to take sannyas immediately. After corresponding with Tirtha Maharaj, Abbe had felt some uncertainty about accepting sannyas, and now that he was being encouraged so strongly, he resisted, but Keshava Maharaj was insistent. "Srila Prabhupada, I was sitting alone in Vrindavan writing. My godbrother insisted to me, 'Bhaktivedanta Prabhu, you must do it. Without accepting the renounced order of life, nobody can become a preacher.' So he insisted. Not he insisted, practically my spiritual master insisted. He wanted me to become a preacher, so he forced me through this godbrother, 'You accept.' So unwillingly, I accepted." This is Prabhupada writing. Keshavaji Gaudiya Math was located in the midst of one of Mathura's downtown bazaars. Its main entrance, an arched doorway, led into a courtyard open to the sky through a metal grating above. The architecture was similar to the Vamshi Gopalji temple. The atmosphere was secluded as in a monastery. Abbe was a familiar, welcomed figure here. He had lived here, written and studied in the library here, edited the Gaudiya Patrika, and donated the deity of Lord Chaitanya, who stood on the altar beside the deities of Radha and Krishna, Sri Radha Vinod Vihariji. But his visit during September of 1959 was not an ordinary one. He entered the mat dressed in white, Abbe Babu, but he would soon be leaving dressed in saffron, a swami. Abbe had been living as a renunciate for 9 years, but there was no need for him to observe a ceremony or to proclaim himself a sadhu by changing to saffron dress. But it was the parampara system that a man take three dandi sannyas at the end of his life. He was aware of the cheating sannyasis. Even in Vrindavan, he had seen so-called sadhus who did not preach but simply spend their days hunting for chapatis. Some court swamis of Vrindavan even indulged illicitly in what they supposedly came here to reject, that is, sex life. Such persons were making a mockery of sannyas. And there were the caste Goswamis also, who lived like ordinary householders, running temples as a business to support their families, and accepting honor and donations from the public on the false basis of birth. Abe knew of these abuses of sannyas, but he also knew the real purpose of sannyas, as mentioned before, that is preaching. On the morning of September 17, 1959, in the 50 by 25 foot deity room on the second floor of the Keshavji Math, a group of devotees sat before the deities of Radha Krishna and Lord Chaitanya. The deities were colorfully dressed in royal clothing and silver crowns. Radharani's right hand faced palm forward in benediction for the worshipper, like here. At her side, her left hand held a flower for Krishna. Krishna stood like a dancer, placing his right leg in a casual tiptoe pose before his left, playing his long silver flute, which he held gracefully to his red lips. His long black hair reached down past his shoulders, and the garland of marigolds around his neck reached down to his knees. On his right stood the deity of Lord Chaitanya, his right arm raised, left arm at his side, his body straight, feet together. He was a soft golden color, and he had large eyes, a well-formed red mouth, and straight black hair down to his shoulders. One level below the deities were the pictures of the spiritual masters in disciplic succession: Jagannath Das Babaji, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, and Bhakti Pragya Keshava Maharaj. Abhay sat on a mat of kusha grass beside 90-year-old Sanatan, also to receive sannyas that day. Sitting opposite the two candidates, Narayan Maharaj, Keshava Maharaj's disciple, prepared to conduct the ceremony of mantras and offering of grains and ghee into the fire. Akinchan Krishna Das Babaji, Abhay's godbrother, known for sweet singing, played mridanga and sang Vaishnava bhajans. Sitting on a raised asana, His Holiness B.P. Keshava Maharaj presided. Since there had been no notices or invitations, only the mud's few residents attended. Narayan Maharaj chanted the required mantras and then sat back silently while B.P. Keshava Maharaj lectured. Then, to everyone's surprise, Keshava Maharaj asked Abhay to speak. So it's like, you know, you're having an initiation, you're getting initiated, and then you're asked to give a lecture on your initiation. It's very strange. So it was like that. Keshava Maharaj, first he gave the talk, then he asked Srila Prabhupada to speak, Abhay to speak, and he was taken by surprise. And Srila Prabhupada, he spoke in English, though most of the people in that room could understand Hindi. He knew Keshava Maharaj and few others could understand English, and he felt that he should speak in English. And then Prabhupada spoke in English. After Abhay's preach, each initiate received his sannyas danda, the traditional head-high staff made of four bamboo rods, bound together and completely enwrapped in saffron cloth. They were given their sannyas garments, one piece of saffron cloth for a dhoti and one for a top piece, or uttara, and two strips of cloth for underwear, kopins. They also received tulsi neck beads and the sannyas mantra. Keshava Maharaj said that Abhay would now be known as Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj, and that Sanatan would be Muni Maharaj. After the ceremony, the two new sannyasis posed for a photo, standing on either side of the sannyas guru, who sat in a chair. So this picture is there in the Leelamrita, you can have a look. B.P. Keshava Maharaj didn't impose any strictures on Abhay. He simply encouraged him to go on preaching. Yet Abhay knew that to become A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami did not mean merely that he was giving up family, home comforts and business. That he had done 5 years ago, after this pastime of, you know, his wife said, either you accept me or tea. Changing from white cloth to saffron cloth, from Abhay Babu to Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj, had a special significance. It was only a matter of time before Bhaktivedanta Swami would travel to the west as Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati had ordained. This was Bhaktivedanta Swami's realization of his new sannyas status. So it's one last paragraph and we'll end there. Two. The Gaudiya Patrika's account of the sannyas initiation included a biographical sketch of Sri Srimad Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj listing the major events of his life. The article concluded, seeing his enthusiasm and ability to write articles in English, in Hindi, English and Bengali, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj gave him the instruction to take three dandi sannyas. For nearly 1 year he had been ready to accept sannyas. In the month of Bhadra, on the day on which Vishwarup accepted sannyas, Bhaktivedanta Swami at the Sri Keshavji Gaudiya Math accepted sannyas from the founder of the Vedanta Samiti, Bhakti Pragya Keshava Maharaj. Seeing him accept his ashram of renunciation, seeing this pastime for accepting the renounced order of life, we have attained great affection and enthusiasm. So this is from by Satswarup. This is from the Leelamrita by Satswarup Maharaj. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Yes.
So we'll end here. If you have any comments or questions? Yes, Prabhuji. Sorry?
What is Tridandi?
Oh, okay. Tridandi sannyas. So here I was reading. Good question. So, Tridandi sannyas, the traditional head high staff made of four bamboo rods bound together and completely enwrapped in saffron cloth. So, the Mayavadis, they take Ekadanda sannyas, which they accept have only one rod. And whereas the Vaishnava sannyasis, they have the three dandi sannyas, which there's three rods. And I don't know why it says here, four bamboo rods.
Jiva.
Okay. So the Tridandi means to dedicate one's body, mind and words in the service of the Lord. So that's why it's called Tridandi sannyas. So full dedication. Nothing is left. Okay. Well, the Shastra recommends one should, at least traditionally, one should take sannyas. So this is progressive. This is how society progresses. And sannyas is not an artificial thing. Sometimes people take sannyas out of frustration. And that type of sannyas is, you know, Dhritarashtra was taking like that. It was more or less out of frustration. But one has to take sannyas when one is fully convinced. It's not an overnight thing. So your question is whether it's a prolonged thing or an overnight thing. That's the question, right? So traditionally it's encouraged one takes sannyas, but sannyas is not for everyone. Everyone cannot. There's different degrees of practical renunciation. So sannyas was meant for the brahmanas. So they would take sannyas. The kshatriyas, they would take vanaprastha. So sannyas was not for them. So sannyas is not for everyone. And one has to take sannyas, one has to have the realization to take sannyas. They have to demonstrate a great degree of renunciation. So sannyas also means, Krishna talks about sannyas in the Bhagavad Gita in the last chapter. So sannyas means also dedicating one's body, mind and words in the service of the Lord. So even a grihastha can be a sannyasi in that sense. So sannyas, and in fact, not all devotees can take sannyas. If Prabhupada even said that if one's householder life is very favorable for the execution of Krishna consciousness, then one doesn't have to take sannyas. But if someone wants to have, someone has a very strong desire to preach and travel, then they can take sannyas if they are sufficiently renounced. And provided if their former wife is also taken care of nicely. So, but in Kali Yuga, taking sannyas is not very easy because things are very topsy-turvy. The environment is not very conducive to varnashram. So it's in Kali Yuga, it's not so easy. The wife has served the husband for so many years and one cannot just leave without making adequate arrangements. So if the arrangements are made and one has the blessings of senior Vaishnavas and the GBC, then and one is sufficiently renounced and learned and has a strong desire to preach, then one can take sannyas. But it's, generally speaking, it's very difficult. Most people are unable to do that. And there's nothing wrong in being a householder. Because if a householder is fully dedicated to the Lord's service, then he or she is more or less a sannyasi. And in one's later life, one can more or less act as a vanaprastha also by traveling to various places of pilgrimage, Vrindavan, Mayapur, Puri, with one's wife, or even as single, and one can travel and preach Krishna consciousness and absorb oneself in the holy name and the Shastra and devotional service. Yes, Prabhuji.
There's one Gurudev coming to death
example. He's a very good example. There are so many examples in our movement. His Grace Burijan Prabhu, His Grace Sankarshan Das Adhikari, and so many others, Ravindra Swarup Prabhu, they are sannyasis. More or less they are sannyasis. They are in the grihastha ashram, but they are sannyasis. They have dedicated their body, mind and words. They are more than sannyasis. And in fact they are so much respected by everyone and by the God brothers also. Thank you very much. We'll end here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.